Welcome to the Hunter Joyce Macros training tape for JAWS version 2.3. Side 1, table of contents follows. This tape is tone indexed. Section 1, Introduction to Macros, selecting the macros menu, revising a macros, a visual description of the screen, and editing macros in the revised window. Section 2, selecting a JAWS function from the function window. Section 3, creating a useful macro to read information from the screen. Macros training tape side 2, section 1. Getting the same result with a different macro, using the search feature in the menus. Section 2. Creating an auto macro or monitored frame to perform the macro automatically. Section 3. Using the control up arrow macro to read the first file name of a directory listing. Section 4. Perform macro, jump macro, BIOS macro. Section 5. Saving and loading macros with a config files menu, using autoload to automatically load configuration files. Section 6. Hunter Joyce, address and phone numbers.
Hi, and welcome to another training tape from Hunter Joyce. Now we're talking about JAWS version 2.3 and macros. You might consider this the basic training tape number 5, because it's really beneficial if you listen to the other four tapes first, unless you're already an expert JAWS user. We're talking about the macros. The macros are the single most powerful and important feature in JAWS. It's the feature that allows you to move keys around on the keyboard, have one key do the job of many other keys, up to 150 or even more than that. And also, many macros can be performed automatically, all by themselves. You don't even have to touch the keyboard. They can watch the screen and see what's going on, and when something or other appears or disappears, they can make a decision and go on from there. So it's a very powerful feature, and therefore it's very important for you to learn how to use it. Or another way to look at it is, if you just use WordPerfect and Lotus 1-2-3 and other programs that we already have macros done for, you don't need to learn how to use macros at all. You don't even have to know how to spell macros, because they're all done for you. But when you get into those situations where you think, wow, it would be nice if I had a key that would do so-and-so. Well, if you know how to do the macros in JAWS, you can make a key to do that. Or in certain job situations, you're kind of like the only guy in the whole world, or girl in the whole world, that's using that particular program. And so then, chances are pretty good that we're not going to have already set up the macros for you, and you have to do it yourself. So it's very important to learn how to use it, just like all the other features in JAWS are important to learn how to use. Keep in mind that JAWS is simply a tool to operate your computer. And we don't want you to spend all day operating JAWS, because you won't get your work done. We want JAWS to do as much work for you as possible. And then you can concentrate your thought energy and physical energy on getting the computer to do the job that you're trying to do, either learning at school or on the job, you know, getting things done. So macros are very, very important for that reason. They're a very powerful tool to get something done with your computer. So the most important thing about macros is to learn how to create one. Let me think if I've explained this sufficiently. A macro basically is we're going to take one key, almost any key we want on the keyboard, including combination keys like Alt keys, Shift keys, Control keys, Insert keys, things like that. So we're going to select a key, and then we're going to tell JAWS, listen, when I press this key or key combo, here are all the things I want you to do. It might just be one thing, or it might be 10 or 20 things, or 150 things. The limit per key is actually 150 different items you can put in there. But one of those items, or actually more than one, any one of those items can be a jump or a perform to another macro, which can hold 150, and then that can jump or perform another macro, which can hold 150, and goes on and on like that. So the theoretical limit is actually 10 times 150, which is 1,500. So that's way more than you're going to ever put into just one key, but that's, everybody always asks, so I figured I might as well tell you. Practically speaking, I think about the biggest macro I've ever made was probably about 50 or 60 keys, and that's in our WordPerfect macro file. So that's simple. That's what a macro is. One definition that we've used before If you haven't got the concept yet, when you say that you're going to brush your teeth in the morning, what does that mean? Well, that means you're going to go into the bathroom, go up to the sink, pull out your toothbrush, take the top off the toothpaste, spread toothpaste on the toothbrush, put the top back on the toothpaste, put it back up on its holder, turn on your faucet, get your toothbrush wet, put it in your mouth, rub it back and forth for a period of time. Rinse out your mouth, rinse off the toothbrush, put it back in the holder, and you're pretty well done. That's what we call brushing your teeth, but it's made up of a bunch of little steps. Likewise, a macro. It's one key, but that one key can be made up of a bunch of little steps, and it saves you the time of pressing all those different keys or telling the computer to do each little step, pressing that one key, and then JAWS does all those little steps for you. Just like when you say, I'm going to go brush my teeth. Okay, so let's get on with this now. I think I wasted enough time on the intro. I'm going to go to the menus with a control slash.
JAWS main menu.
And I think I was already in the menus.
Escape, exiting.
Yeah. I'll do a control slash
JAWS main menu
to go back into the menus. I hit escape to get out of the menus. I'm on voice.
Voice.
I'll do a right arrow.
Config files.
Again.
Frames.
And again.
Macro.
There's macro. I'll do a down arrow to get into the macros menu.
Revise.
First thing is revise. That's revising a macro, creating one or editing one. To the right of that.
Duplicate.
Duplicate. Duplicating a macro. I'll read the helpline here.
Duplicate a macro key, comma, invokes external editor.
Duplicate a macro key, comma, invokes external editor. This external editor part, in order to save memory space in JAWS, when you select one of these things, duplicate, erase, revise, we pull up another program. Now, JAWS is still there, but also we pull up another program which actually does most of the work. Okay, to the right of duplicate.
Erase.
Is erase. That's for erasing a macro.
Identify.
And identify macro.
Auto macros.
Auto macros. This is the same as frame monitoring. If you go over to the frames menu, select monitoring, you'll get the same thing. But an auto macro is one of those things that I mentioned will do something for you automatically. We tell it to watch this frame on the screen, and when anything changes in that frame, then perform this macro. And so, when the status line in WordPerfect changes, you hit F2 to make it change, or any most of the function keys, and then when it changes, JAWS sees that it changed, and then says, oh, line 25 changed, I've got to perform the alt semicolon macro. And it does, and then alt semicolon does all kinds of stuff. All right.
Revise.
Back to my menus, hit a right arrow again, and I'm back to revise. Now, each time it wraps around, see, when you're all the way over to the right, and it wraps back to the left, that's called wrapping, and JAWS beeps. We may not be picking up the beeps on the microphone because we try to keep the computer away from the mic. So the most important thing, as I mentioned, is revise. After you revise or create something, you can duplicate it or erase it.
Revise.
So I'm going to do a down arrow. See, when it said revise, that's because I did a say word, an insert 5 on the numpad. So I'm going to hit down arrow here.
Enter the macro key to revise or define colon.
Enter the macro key to revise or define. Now let's take a look at a real simple one here for starters. I'm going to hit the up arrow key on the numeric pad. That's the say prior line. I'll hit that right now.
Up arrow, revising existing definition. Revise window.
It says up arrow, revising existing definition, revise window. Three different pieces of information. The up arrow tells you which key you pressed. The revising existing definition means, hey, this is already a macro. I just want to let you know. Because you could make a mistake and assume that it was not already a macro and just start typing things in and you wouldn't ever, quote, see, unquote, the other data that's already there unless you purposely looked. And then it says revise window to let us know that we are in the revise window. Well, you knew that because you selected revise. Well, that's not exactly true, because actually what we have now on the screen is we have three windows. This is the macro editor, the revised selection from the menu, but we popped up here, we've got three windows. Now visualize this, because I think visualizing what's on the screen is important to help you find your way around on it. The top one is the revise window. That's where we are now. Just below that is the function window. And below that is the Identify window. So we'll take them one at a time. I'm in the Revise window, and remember, I've told it I want to revise the up arrow key, and it told me that's already an existing definition. That's already a macro. Okay, that's all right. Now, the concept here with this editor is we want to be able to record any key on the keyboard. We also want to be able to record any JAWS function that is available. There's about 120 of them. So we also want to be able to read what's there. We've got to hit keys on the keyboard for it to read back to us. And those keys we want to hit to read back, we don't want them recorded in our macro, right? Remember, if you're sighted, you can just look at it. You don't need any special stuff. You can just look what's there, and whatever key you hit gets recorded, and it's pretty simple. But we're not, so we need an extra set of keys in order to read around in the revise window. Because we can't use, let's say, the 5 on the numpad, because that's say character. If I press 5 on the numpad to do a say character, how do I get a 5 on the numpad into my macro? Well, I can't. So you have to use a special combination of keys. So on the left-hand side of your keyboard, hold down the Shift and the Control keys. Now those keys have to be down whenever you want to read information that's in the revise window. So hold down the Shift and Control, and then you use keys on the speech pad or the numeric pad to read with. So I'm holding down the Shift and the Control on the left. Now the 5 on my numeric pad reads the character. So I'm going to press that.
Say prior line.
Say prior line. Now that's not a character, that's a whole function. But it reads the whole thing to me because I don't have a choice of just selecting the S of say prior line. I have to select that whole function. So sometimes the Control Shift numpad 5 will read a single character, sometimes the entire function. All right, so I'll do that again. I've still got my Control and the Shift down. I'm going to hit the 5 on the numpad.
Say prior line.
Say prior line. That is the function that is recorded in this macro. Remember, the macro is the up arrow, and when I hit that up arrow, I want it to say the prior line. That's the name of the function. So I'm going to do a right arrow. Still got the Control and the Shift down. Hit right arrow.
Help label start.
Help label start. So now we've added onto this macro a help label, which only gets spoken when we're in help mode. So I'll do another right arrow. Remember, I've still got the Shift and the Control down.
M.
M. All right, so that's one situation where it just says a letter, one single letter. So M.
O. V. E. Space.
M-O-V-E. Space. Obviously, that's move. So I've got the Shift and Control down still, and I'm moving to the right with a right arrow.
T. O. Space. A. N. D. Space. S. A. Y. Space. T. H. E. Space. P. R. I. O. R. Space. L. I. N. E. Label end. Space. Space.
Okay, the very end, it beeped at me. I know I'm at the end of the macro. So that's just a help label. Move to and say the prior line. Label end. And that's it. That's our macro. Now, the help label is optional. You don't need to put that in there. I could just have a single function macro here that say prior line, and everything else following that I could erase, and that would be it. And that would work perfectly fine. Let me show you a few of the other things about reading around this revised window. Control-Shift right arrow moves to the right.
Space.
And it beeps at me. Control Shift left arrow moves to the left.
Label end E N I L space R.
Reads backward through the macro. To say the function or letter that I'm on, I do a Control Shift 5 on the numpad.
R.
To move to the beginning of the macro, I do a Control Shift home. That's the 7 on the numpad.
Macro colon say prior line help label start M O V E space T O space.
So it moves to the beginning and then it reads part of it. The part that it reads, well, I'll get to that in just a minute. Control-Shift-End, E-N-D, that's the 1 on the numeric pad, that moves to the end of the macro.
Macro colon T-H-E space P-R-I-O-R space L-I-N-E label end.
Let's go back to the beginning with Control-Shift-Home.
Macro colon say prior line help label start M-O-V-E space T-O space.
Now what it's doing, I move to the beginning or the end, it reads the functions or characters that are visible in the window. Remember, this is the revised window. It's a one-line window. And it's not full 80 characters because the word macro appears at the left of it, so it's let's say, maybe 65 characters. And so the data we're looking at scrolls horizontally in that window. Just like other screens scroll up and down, this one is scrolling horizontally in the window. Now, if you're blind, it doesn't really make any difference because you can only really look at one at a time anyways. And even if you're sighted, it doesn't matter because it scrolls and more data comes into view. Okay, so the Control-Shift page down jumps ahead a window at a time, which is about four functions at a time.
Macro colon MD space SOI space THE space PRIOR space. Macro colon LINE label end.
So it's just reading through the macro a chunk at a time. And Control-Shift page up reads backward through the macro a chunk at a time.
Macro colon MD space SOI space THE space PRIOR space.
This is not a great example for this, but I'm really want to get you the feel for how to read through this macro and look at what's there. So Control-Shift home goes to the beginning, Control-Shift end goes to the end. Control-Shift 5 on the numpad says what you're on. Control-Shift right arrow goes to the next one to the right. Control-Shift left arrow goes to the previous one. And when you get to the beginning or the end, it will beep, so you can't move any further. Okay, now, when you're editing something, there's two other important functions. Well, actually, there's more than that, come to think of it. One of them is you want to be able to save what you've edited. So once you've created a new macro or made some changes, you want to save it. So you do a Control-Shift-Enter, and that saves it. When you're in this revised window, Control-Shift-Enter will save it. I'll do that right now.
Okay.
It says OK, and it took me back to the menus. If I do a Say Word,
Revise.
I'm on the Revise choice in the menus. I'll go back in.
Enter, Revise. Enter the macro key to revise or define colon.
And I'll hit Up Arrow.
Up arrow, revising existing definition. Revise window.
Okay, so we're back. That's how you save it, Control-Shift-Enter. Now, also, there are times when, when you've made some changes and you goofed it up and really messed it up bad, you say, gee, I wish I could get back to where I started. Well, that would be an abort. So you do a Control-Shift-Up arrow to abort out of or escape out of the macro editor. You can also use a Control-Shift-Escape to abort out. I'll do that right now.
Aborting.
It says aborting and it takes you back to the menus. If I do a say word,
revise.
I'm on the revise choice in the menus. So I'll do an enter and get back in.
Enter, revise, enter the macro key to revise or define colon.
And I'm tempted to take a look at another one here. I'll do the
pad plus, revising existing definition, revise window.
Pad plus, which is the PC cursor key. Okay, now another thing you want to do when you're in this window, you want to be able to add characters and delete characters. So I'm going to do a Control-Shift-5 on the numpad.
PC cursor.
PC cursor, that's the function. A Control-Shift-right arrow.
Label begin.
Label begin.
P.
Now, before we had a help label. Help labels only get spoken when you're in help mode. This is a label, and it gets spoken whenever the key gets executed or performed.
Label begin.
I did a backward, a left arrow, Control-Shift-left arrow back to label begin. Control-Shift-right arrow.
P, C, space, C, U, R, S, O, R, space, O, N, label end.
It says PC cursor on, label end. Keep going to the right.
Space, space.
And that's it. So I'll do a Control-Shift-home to get to the beginning.
Macro colon PC cursor label begin PC space CURSOR space ON.
I'll do a Control-Shift right arrow.
Label begin.
Label begin. See, I skipped over the very first item, which was PC cursor, and I went directly to label begin. I'll do a Control-Shift right arrow.
P. C.
Let me change this PC, because it says PC cursor on. I'll change PC.
P. Label begin. P.
I backed up, then I went forward. So I'm on the P of PC. I'm going to delete that. I do a Control-Shift-Delete on the numeric pad.
C.
It deletes the P, and it reads the C, which is the next character in line. I'll delete that also by doing a Control-Shift-Delete.
Space.
And it says the space, following the symbols PC. Let me type in system.
S-Y-S-T-E-M.
Now my label is system, and to the right of that,
C, U, O-R-S-O-R.
Cursor.
Space. O-N. Label end.
On. And label end. So I've changed the label. See how easy that was? I just deleted what I didn't want, and I just started typing. I had my cursor my cursor at the right spot, and as I typed it, input it. It inserted it. Let's go back and look at that whole thing. I'll do Control Shift Home.
Macro colon PC cursor label begin system space cursor.
I'll do a Control Shift 5 with a numpad.
PC cursor.
To the right of that, Control Shift right arrow.
Label begin.
Label begin. Again to the right.
S Y S T E M space C U R S O R space O N label end space space.
And it beeps at the very end. All that time I was doing Control Shift right arrows to move through it. So I'm going to save this and we'll see what it says. I'll do a Control Shift Enter.
Okay.
And it says OK. So now if I press the plus key on the numeric pad, that's the one that used to say PC cursor.
System cursor on.
Now it says system cursor on.
System cursor on.
That's how easy it is to change a macro. And in the previous section, we changed a macro and changed what it said, and we just deleted the characters we didn't want, and we typed in new characters, and that worked great. Well, how do you type in something like, say, the current line? Well, you don't type in S-A-Y space T-H-E space C-U-R or whatever it is. You don't do that. Say current line is a JAWS function. So you have to have some way to select that function. Remember, if you just want to enter letters or keys like the inner key or basic, the original computer keys, that's easy. You just type them and then revise them and they get put in there. But if you want to select a JAWS function, what key do you press? Well, if you want the up arrow, you might think you might press the up arrow. Well, if that's the case, if you want that JAWS function, then how do you get just a regular up arrow? So you got a problem, you see. Well, the designers of JAWS have a problem, and what we've come up with is this other technique. Because every key can have two different things that it does. One can be the key itself, the native mode of that key, and the other thing that it does can be the macro that is attached to that key. So what we've decided is if you want the native function, the original function, you just press the key. Press an E, you get an E. You press an up arrow, you get an up arrow. If you want the JAWS, if you want to record a JAWS function, then you have to use a different technique. You must select that function from a window. Oddly enough, we call that the function window. So I think the concept here is important in the beginning, so to make it more easy to understand. There's the up arrow key, for example, has two different things attached to it, two different things that it does. It does just an up arrow, which is great if you can see. And once we load up JAWS, then it becomes a say prior line. It's no longer just an up arrow. It's a say prior line. It does lots of things. Decides which cursor is on, decides which one to move, moves the appropriate cursor, waits for the cursor to move, and then it says, it reads the line that the cursor moved to. If the cursor didn't move, then it beeps. So say prior line is much more capable, does many more things than just a plain old up arrow. So you have to choose which one you want. Do you want just a plain old up arrow, or do you want say prior line? If you want the plain old up arrow, you just hit the up arrow key. If you want say prior line, you select it from the function window. Let me demonstrate that. I'm in the menus. I'll do a say word.
Revise.
I'm going to hit the enter or the down arrow.
Enter the macro key to revise or define colon.
It says enter the macro key to revise or define. So let me just pick one out here. I'm going to use a... how about an Alt-U for up?
Alt-U, revise window.
Alt-U, revise window. But it didn't say I'm revising an existing definition, so I know that this one is empty. Just to be sure, I can do a Control Shift left arrow.
Space.
And it blanks and says space. Control Shift right arrow.
Space.
It beeps and says space. So I'm sure that this is empty. Now, if I want to type something in, I can just type it in.
H E L L O.
And now, if I read backwards with a control shift left arrow,
O-L-L-E-H-H.
Back at the beginning. So there it is. That's how easy it is to put characters and other keys in your macro. Let me go to the end with the control shift end.
Macro colon H-E-L-L-O.
Now if I hit an up arrow.
Up arrow.
It puts in an up arrow. If I hit enter.
Enter.
Puts in an enter. If I hit F1.
F1.
Puts in F1. Now let me look at that. I'll read backwards through this. Control shift left.
F1.
That's the F1 I hit.
Enter.
Enter.
Up arrow.
Up arrow.
O.
And there's the O of hello. So it's very easy to record those native functions. But if I want to put in a JAWS function, I'll go to the end of this macro again with a control shift end.
Macro colon H-E-L-L-O up arrow, enter F1.
I need to go down to the function window. Remember I said visually on the screen there's three windows. The top one's the revised window, below that's the function window, and below that is the identify window. So I've already used control shift, left arrow, right arrow, 5 on the numpad, home, and page up, page down to read through the revised window. I've used control shift enter to save, and control shift up arrow to abort, and control shift escape to abort. How do I get to the function window? Well, it's below the revised window. So I just do a control shift down arrow.
JAWS function window.
And I'm there. It says JAWS function window. Now this is another one of those one-line windows that scrolls horizontally. You can only see 4 or 5 functions at a time. You can only hear one at a time, so it really doesn't matter how many you can see. So in here we have all the JAWS functions, all the things that JAWS can do. That's not true. All the things that JAWS does that you can put in a macro. So let's read through them. They're an alphabetical list. I'll do a control shift 5 on the numpad.
Backspace.
There's the backspace function. Control shift right arrow.
Beep.
Beep.
Beep on routing.
Beep on routing.
Caps lock status. Color flag. Cursor position dash active.
Cursor position dash active. That's to get the position of the active cursor, the row and column.
Cursor position dash inactive.
Position of the inactive cursor, the one that's turned off or not on.
Delete.
Delete.
Else.
Else, part of the if-then-else statement.
End.
End, that's the end on the numeric pad, or the cursor pad.
And if.
End if, that's used to terminate an if statement.
Fields.
Fields, turns fields on or off.
Help label start.
Help label start.
Help mode.
Help mode.
Whole size get.
Whole size get, that's part of smart screens.
Home.
Home.
Home dash row.
Home row. So there's a lot of things here, and we're only on the H's so far. There is a helpline that appears there visually. If you do a control shift insert,
toggle home row mode on or off, comma, a new level of macro keys.
It will read you the helpline. If I do a control shift right,
if
and a control shift insert,
start of the quote if dash then dash else quote function.
So it reads that helpline to you. For a complete description, list, and description of all these functions, you can refer to our manual. And it has a list of these functions, a description of each, and in most cases, a sample macro that uses these functions. On this tape, I'll cover some of them, but we don't have enough room really to cover all of them. We also, I should have said in the beginning, this is like an introduction to macros. If you really want to get into macros, we have two other sets of training tapes. The intermediate macros training tapes, it's about 5 cassettes. And the advanced macros training tapes, it's 4 or 5 cassettes. No, actually, that's 3 right now. And so that's, if you really want to learn the macros and get a lot of examples and learn a lot of the details, I highly recommend those training tapes. Give us a call. All right, so I'm reading through the function window. Remember to do that. Well, in the revised window, I had to have the control shift down and use my arrow keys if I just wanted to read and not enter stuff, because everything I touched without control shift down got put into the macro. But here in the function window, it's not that critical. It does work correctly, you might say, if you have the control shift down, but it also responds to just the arrow keys.
If I J jump.
The arrow keys move and say the letter, just like you think they would, and the next word
label label
moves and speaks the first word, just like you expect it would. But many of these functions are more than one word. That's why you do a control shift, and then the 4, 5, 6 on the numpad, which is the prior, which is the left arrow, the 5, which is, say, the current, and the right arrow. So here's a control shift 5.
Label end.
To the left of that
label begin.
Is label begin. To the right.
Label end.
Further to the right.
Margin bell.
Margin bell.
Menus.
Menus.
Menu dash flag.
Menu flag.
Next character.
It's all kinds of stuff. So you can imagine with about 120 functions here, if you wanted to get to the something that started with a W, for example, you could spend quite a bit of time pounding your way through here. So obviously there's a quicker way to do it. Let's say I want to get to say line, which would be to say the current line, all right? I can keep going with a control shift right arrow to get over there, or I can just hit the S.
Save Jaws cursor.
Remember, this is all in alphabetical order. When I hit S, it went to the first word that started with an S. But that's not the one I want. I want say line. So I hit an A, the second letter. And it didn't move. Because I'm on save, it still matched. But now I want to hit a Y for say line.
Say all.
It moves over to the first match. This is the first function that starts with the word say, S-A-Y. But it's not the one I want. It's say all. So I hit the space bar, because there's a space between the words. And then I hit L for line.
Say line.
And it moves over to the correct one. I can do my help line, which is a control shift insert.
Say the line the cursor is on.
Say the line the cursor is on. This is what I want. Okay, so what I've done now is in the function window, I've selected the function that I want to include in my macro. I'm sitting on it right now. I'm down in the function window. The revised window is up above me, up above where I am on the screen. So to get this function up there in my macro, I just hit the Enter key.
Say line.
It says the word say line, and it visually, if you could see it, it moved that function up into the revised window. I could also do a control shift enter, doesn't matter. So let's go up and look at it now. Well, the revised window is above us, so to get up there, I do a control shift up arrow.
Revised window.
There I am. I'll do a control shift 5 on the numpad.
Space.
Space. Because every time I add something, which I've just done actually, it puts the cursor to the right of the item that I've just added. And I was at the end of the line, or at the end of this macro when I left it, so I put it at the put my function at the end, and then move me over just one more to the right. So to see the function I've just put in there, or to hear it, I do a control shift left arrow.
Say line.
There it is, say line. Now just so you really believe me, I'll go back to the beginning. I'll do a control shift home.
Macro colon H-E-L-L-O up arrow, enter F1, say line.
See, that's our whole macro. Remember I typed in H-E-L-L-O, and then
macro colon H-E-L-L-O up arrow, enter F1, say line.
Then up arrow, enter, and F1, and now I just recorded the say line function. So you see how easy that is? From the revised window, you do a control shift down arrow to get to the function window. You pick out the function you want, you move left or right, and get on the function, hit enter, and it just records it into your macro. Let's go down to that function window again.
Jaws function window.
With a down arrow. I'll do a save function, which is a control shift 5.
Say line.
I'm still on that say line. So I can use my control shift left arrow, control shift right arrow to read through here a function at a time. Just like the revise window, I can do a control shift home to get to the beginning, control shift end to get to the end of this function window. Control shift page down moves me to the right through the function window a chunk at a time, which is a window's worth, you might say. And a control shift page up reads me back to the left a chunk at a time. So you can scan through here and see what's going on. A control shift insert reads the help line for each item. This is section 3, macros training tape. Now we're going to actually create a macro that does something useful. That's the whole point of this thing. I'm going to do the identify window later. So now let's get right on to creating a useful macro. So I'm right in the revise window where I left off. I'm going to do a control shift up arrow.
Revise window.
Excuse me, I was in the function window. Now I'm in the revise window. Control shift up arrow again.
Aborting.
Aborting. I'm in the menu, so I'll do a page up.
Page up. Exiting.
And I'm out of there. Now I'm in DOS, I think.
C colon backslash act 2 greater. Row 25, column 12, PC.
Row 25, column 12. So I'm going to hit escape.
Escape, backslash.
Gives me a blank line in DOS. I'm going to type in,
H-E-L-L-O, comma, space, 5, 6, 9, 1.
Just made up some junk there. I'll hit enter.
Enter, bat command or file name, C colon backslash act 2 greater.
Now let's pretend for a moment that you need to... This is a job situation, and new information appears on that screen all the time, and you want to press a key and get it to read that stuff to you with just one keystroke. All right, let's find out where that is.
Route JAWS to PC.
I did an insert JAWS cursor, which is route JAWS to PC. Now I'll do an up arrow.
Blank.
Again.
Bad command or file name.
Again.
Hello, comma, 5691.
Right arrow.
5691.
Okay, that's the item that I want to read. Of course, that number is going to change from customer to customer, so I need to find that item and speak it. So I'm going to hit my position key.
Row 22, column 19, JAWS.
Row 22, column 19, JAWS. So that's where, when I hit this key, that's where I want to go to, okay? I want to make it go immediately there and speak what's there. Row 22, column 19.
Row 22, column 19, JAWS.
So there's many ways of doing that. First, we could turn on the JAWS cursor.
JAWS cursor on.
Do a page down.
Page down.
Which takes us to line 25. And do a home.
Home.
Which takes us to column 1. Then I could go up.
Blank.
That's 24.
Bad command or file name.
23.
Hello, comma, 5691.
22. And then I could go over to the right with a next word.
Hello, comma.
And the next word again.
5691.
That would do it for me. If I did all that without speaking and then just spoke the last thing, that would do it. So let's put all those keystrokes in a macro. That was JAWS cursor on, page down, home, up, 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 24, 23, 22, yep. Go up three times, and then two next words, and I'm there. So let's create a macro that does that. I'm going to go to the menus with a control slash.
JAWS main menu.
Hit M for macros.
M, revise.
R for revise.
R, revise. Enter the macro key to revise or define colon.
All right, the first decision we have to make is what key are we going to use to read this for us? Well, let's say it's an account number for a customer. Well, then we might want to use the word A, like account, or N for number. So I can use an Alt-N. How about that?
Alt-N, revise window.
Alt-N, revise window. All right, I'm going to do a Control-Shift-Down arrow.
JAWS function window.
To get to the function window, because all those steps I mentioned are JAWS functions. We don't want to put any A's or B's or numbers or periods in here. We just want JAWS functions. Okay, so the first thing I want to do is turn on the JAWS cursor. So I'll hit J.
JAWS cursor.
I went right to it immediately because that's the first word that starts with a J is JAWS cursor. So I'll hit enter.
JAWS cursor.
That records it. Now I want page down to get to the bottom of the screen. So hit P.
Page down.
J, there it is right there. Page down. So I'll hit enter.
Page down.
Now I want home. So hit H.
Help label start.
And then O.
Whole size get.
And then M.
Home.
Home. There's the one I want. So hit enter.
Home.
So now I've got JAWS cursor, page down, home. Now I want to move up three times. Now if I use say prior line, it'll move up and speak, but I want it to move up and be silent. So what I really want is prior line. So hit a P.
Page down.
And an R.
Prior character.
All right, there's prior character. So I could keep typing to get prior line, but I'll just do my control shift right arrow.
Prior field. Prior line.
There it is. I hit that once.
Prior line.
And twice.
Prior line.
And three times.
Prior line.
Recorded it three times. So I was on line 25, so I went to 24, to 23, and to 22. Now I want to move over to the right two words and speak it. So I want to move the first word, I want to be silent. The second word, I want spoken. So I could use a next word and then a say next word. Because next, all right, let me hit N for next word.
Next character.
There's next character. So I'll do a control shift right arrow.
Next field, next line, next paragraph. Next sentence, next unit, next word.
There it is. Now I'll do a helpline. Let me look at this helpline, Control-Shift-Enter.
Move cursor to next word, comma, does not speak.
See, the next line, next word, prior this, prayer, that. They move, but they don't speak. If you want it to move and speak, you use the say. Say next word. Say prayer line. All right, so the first one we want to move and not speak, so that's next word. I'll hit enter to record it.
Next word.
Now I want say next word. So I hit an S.
Say Jaws cursor.
And an A and a Y.
Say all.
Space. N.
Say next character.
Now I can keep typing. I'll hit E, X, T. It didn't move. A space. Now I want word, so I hit W.
Say next word.
There it is. I'll hit enter.
Say next word.
And that should be it. Let's take a look at our macro. I'll do Control Shift Up Arrow.
Revise window.
To get to the revise window. A Control Shift Home to get to the beginning.
Macro colon Jaws cursor page down home prior line prior line prior line.
So let's get the. See, we only read a window's worth there. That's not the whole macro, so it chopped off the end. So let's read through this one at a time. I'll do a Control Shift 5 on the numpad.
Jaws cursor.
That's the first thing. Turns on the Jaws cursor. To the right of that, Control Shift Right Arrow.
Page down.
It's page down, goes to line 25. To the right of that,
home.
Home goes to column 1. To the right of that,
prior line.
Prior line moves up to line 24. To the right of that,
prior line.
Moves up to line 23. To the right of that,
prior line.
Moves up to line 22. To the right of that,
next word.
Next word, it moves to that first word on the line, which was hello. And then another next word,
say next word.
Is say next word. So it moves to the second word and it speaks it. To the right of that,
space, space,
is a space, which is nothing, and it beeps. So let's save this with a Control-Shift-Enter.
Okay.
It says okay. I'll hit escape.
Escape, exiting.
To get out of the menus. Now remember we used an Alt-N for that, so when I hit Alt-N,
5691.
It reads that number to me. Alright, just to be sure we're not cheating, let me turn on my Jaws cursor.
Jaws cursor on.
Hit page up.
Page up.
End.
End.
And then position.
Row 1, column 68, Jaws.
Row 168, that's where it is right now. Let me turn on my PC cursor.
System cursor on.
It should have said PC cursor, but it said system because I changed it earlier.
Row 25, column 12, PC.
Now I'm going to hit my Alt-N again because that's the key we selected for our macro.
5691.
And it moves immediately to that number.
Jaws cursor on, page up, and.
Now get a sense for how quick this happens, too. I got my Alt key down, you'll hear me hit the N.
5691.
Happens almost instantly. And all those steps, Jaws does them real quick, and the synthesizer responds, and you get the information that you want. We're at the end of side one of the macros training tape for Jaws version 2.3. Thanks for joining us, and you can flip the tape over at this point.